God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman, and welcome to A Disciple's View. There is a power to something called iconography. And I'm not speaking in terms of an icon, something that could become an idol. Iconography, images. I think there are two really potent images that I would put side by side if I were someone working on the Trump campaign. I know I would put them side by side if I were working on trying to awaken people to the dynamics behind the souls of the people who are pushing the Democrat National Committee to become what it is. It is one part China model, authoritarianism. Look no further than the fact that that woman, Kamala Harris, has never received a single vote from a grassroots member of the Democrat Party, not one. She is the very substantiation of the claims people made about the Supreme Court. Remember that? Selected, not elected. George W. Bush, selected, not elected. Kamala Harris is the nominee because there was no other choice. For the Democrats, they couldn't have an open convention. They couldn't have a debate of ideas. Kamala Harris couldn't have won that debate of ideas because Kamala Harris does not truly exist. She is water. She'll fill any moral container she's asked to fill. So just behold that. The souls behind that decision, they're one part the China model authoritarianism. They're another part so predicted in the Bible. People who reject sound teaching and turn to pastors and teachers who will give them what their itching ears want to hear. Good would be called evil. Evil would be called good. They're all these things combined. So there's two images I would put side by side. And I ask you to do something that's difficult. And that is to remove yourself from water. Here's what I mean. You know that whole cliche, a fish doesn't know it's wet. Let's remove ourselves from the constant information flow. I don't know how old you are. I'm in my mid-50s. I've heard news my entire life. My parents were news hounds. I remember Walter Cronkite on TV and David Brinkley and 60 Minutes. And my dad listened to Paul Harvey's News and Commentary, which is honestly why I do radio. It was my first exposure to talk radio. Wow, people can do that and get paid. But I've been in newsrooms my entire life. So sometimes we just become so used to the things to which we should not be used. It should never be normal. Here's the two images. An abortion RV in the outside the Democrat National Convention. An RV to provide free abortions. So in that RV, children's lives are taken from them for free. Normally, Planned Parenthood is a very, very profitable organization. Not only do they get government money taken from us by force, they get nonprofit status. They get, of course, to sell the body parts. They get to become the nation's largest provider of wrong sex hormones. They now provide more testosterone than any of these men's clinics that provide. So it's an abortion RV in beautiful blue and white colors. Hey, that's just like the Democrats. Wow, it's the same color scheme. But don't worry, it's not the Democrats doing it. It's just Planned Parenthood. How many lives have children taken this week? Well, I'm sure Planned Parenthood will brag about that number, but they won't call it lives taken. They'll call it women served. So that's one image, the taking of life. And the other image comes from the Office of Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I'll explain that in a second, because it also has to do with children. Do you remember when abortion was safe and rare? Only in cases of rape or incest or the life of the mother. Do you remember that? And then it was only within the first 30 days of pregnancy. And then it was 60 and then 90. and then it was 120, and now it is in states like Virginia, up right up to the last day, right up to the point where a child could be viable, right up when the child's capable of crying and grabbing things with his hands, right then. That's a late stage abortion. That's the scissors through the back of the neck. Sorry to be blunt, but that's what it is. So likewise, there was a time where abortion was the result of a terrible decision a woman might have to make. I know women who have struggled over that, and it hurt them, and it was a struggle of the soul. And to this day, some of them feel guilty. And so I want to remind them, you take that to the cross, the Lord Jesus, he will accept this repentance. If you feel sad and you feel moribund having made that decision, the Lord Jesus weeps with you. He's ready for you, and he will absolutely cleanse you of that. And he loves you so much. Please take that to the cross. And I mean truly take it to the cross. Truly, truly honor God with your weeping. And know this as well. There's not a human being in this audience who has any sin greater than yours. Not a singleness. Or any sin less great. Doesn't work that way. There's not a member of this audience who can look at you and say, oh, your sin is worse than ours. No, we can't do that. We're all called to recognize that. He who provides mercy will get it. So just think of this. There was a time when people did this reluctantly. Women did this reluctantly. They felt they had to. This has changed. The Democrats are so good at this. There are women who said, oh my gosh, I can have my free abortion at the Democrat National Convention. Oh, I want to get pregnant. You doubt that? Abortion has been made a celebration, a rite of passage, just an activity like any other, but one to celebrate, like a birthday. But you can do it more often. It has been made something that young women can use to really, really show the man. Oh, I'm going to show the man. I'm going to get back at the man. And there were people who chose to do that at this Democrat National Convention, women who chose to do that. There was a woman who spoke on video saying she was going to have an abortion on stage. Now, I don't believe her, but she said she was going to. But the Democrats wouldn't shy away from that. Why would they? They'd celebrate it. So back to these two images side by side, the abortion RV in the blue and white colors that match exactly the colors of the Democrats, exact color scheme, women who are coming out, celebrating, high-fiving, fist-bumping, having done this. The second image I would put next to it, also in blue and white, with black text. It uses some nomenclature I will explain. When you hear the word UC, it means unaccompanied children. When you hear the phrase NTA, it means notice to appear. This comes from the United States Department of Homeland Security Office of Inspector General. As of May 2024, ICE had not served an NTA or scheduled a court date for more than 291,000 unaccompanied children. Pause. What does that mean? Children who came into America supposedly unaccompanied because they made it across Mexico alone. Does anyone believe they made it across Mexico alone? Little children? No. Of course, they were brought here by coyotes or perhaps family members. Remember when we paused those kids at the border and detained them? Well, I don't know why. To figure out, hey, is this actually your uncle? Or are you being trafficked? Or are you going to be turned into forced labor or sex work? Not sex work, but sex trafficked. So back to the statement. They've lost track. They've not been able to serve a notice to appear on 291,000 unaccompanied children. Back to the document. In each ICE location we visited, ERO could not serve NTAs, that's a notice to appear, on all the unaccompanied children. At one location we visited 34,823, that's 84% of 41,638 unaccompanied children in the local area, had not been served notices to appear to initiate immigration proceedings. Without an ability to monitor the location and status of the unaccompanied children, ICE has no assurance that unaccompanied children are safe from trafficking, exploitation, or forced labor. they lost 291,000 children. They don't know where they're at. The side-by-side is this. The side-by-side is this. On one hand, the Democrats celebrating and pushing taking the lives of children. On the other hand is this. Democrats importing children to such a high level that they have lost track of 291,000 kids. They are happily killing babies that otherwise would have been born in America for profit and power. And they are just as happily allowing kids to cross our southern border, often in the possession of coyotes and cartels for the purpose of sex trafficking at the same time. It should be breathtaking. Remember when I asked us to remove ourselves from water? A fish doesn't know it's wet. What environment are we in? Truly biblical level evil. Nebuchadnezzar had to send out armies to capture kids to abuse. Girls to be brought into concubines. Boys made eunuchs, put into forced labor. They're not sending out armies. They're letting armies in. In the days of the Baals in the Bible, the work of sacrificing a child was messy. It had to be gross to send your kid into a volcano. I'm sure the mother screamed bloody murder, crying, screaming. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they'd made that spiritually captured. Maybe. We don't know. But Satan's been able to work so fully through the Democrat Party that now you just pull up an RV and you make it free. The congenital liar, well, I don't know that it's congenital, but the serial liar named Tim Walz, he's a big fan of pretending things are true in his life. This is him really, really trying hard to pretend he and his wife got their kids through IVF, in vitro fertilization.
We saw it recently with a bunch of judges down in Alabama, ruled that a frozen embryo holds the same right as a human being. As a direct result of that decision, fertility clinics closed across the state, putting men and women only wishing to have a family with nowhere to turn. Some of you have heard me say this, and I heard people come up and say, we haven't heard you talk about this before. That's because your own personal decisions about your family are no one's business but your own. But I will say this. If you have never personally gone through the hell of infertility, I guarantee you someone you know has. And I know that when Gwen and I were having trouble getting pregnant, the anxiety, the frustration would have blotted out the sun. All we wanted was something that seemed so simple, to have that child. What those judges did was a direct attack on our family. It was a direct attack on my children.
Do you hear what he's suggesting? Tim Walz is pretending he and his wife use in vitro fertilization to have their children. CNN was later forced to admit and to fact check him. That never happened. Tim Walz has lied about carrying weapons into war. He's lied about being a head coach of a football team, and he is a clever liar. He is really good at using weasel words. But then again, we live in a nation where the government has become a lie. Oh, yeah, the Fed, by the way. Yeah, they overreported some jobs. Actually, it's probably about a million extra jobs they reported. Darn it, they made a mistake. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling next segment and also a personal observation. You know who Adam Kinzinger is? Adam Kinzinger is Republican. The word Republican doesn't mean anything to me. It used to mean something. It doesn't now because there's all forms of Republican. Adam is effectively what I refer to as either shiny shoe Republican, which is just snarky. It doesn't mean much. He's much more a professional Republican. He's in Congress. He displays what I think is hatred for President Trump. A lot of people hate President Trump. And a professional Republican, and this is how I determine this. If you honestly ask them to honestly describe, what do you do? They would say, I'm Republican. Okay, so you are a Republican who Republicans. What does that mean? It means I do whatever it needs to be done to say I'm a Republican, whatever Republican needs to mean at that time. In the case of Adam Kinzinger, who's at best a very liberal Republican, it means now joining Evangelicals for Harris. I don't think that there's been a better astroturfed group of apostates than Evangelicals for Harris. And I think I talked last week about the Democrats' skill at organizing the organized. So good. And, you know, the devil is scheming. He's good. He's had a long time to practice being scheming. So last Wednesday, Evangelicals for Harris, they broadcast a pre-recorded message from the former Congressman Kinzinger. And his message sounds almost exactly like the messages that are coming from Evangelicals for Harris. I think it was, Tuesday or Wednesday or Monday? I believe it was Monday that I talked about Billy Graham's granddaughter who is promoting and has joined Evangelicals for Harris. This is Kinzinger, and his statement sounds suspiciously like Billy Graham's granddaughter, who's also joined the same group.
This huge amount of lies, just utter garbage that comes out of his mouth. Lies every minute, every second. There's nothing that's Christian about that. There's nothing that screams faith about that.
Joe Biden had said multiple times he had nothing to do with his son's business. Hunter. Joe Biden was on phone calls with his son, responded to meeting requests, met with his business partners on the golf course, took phone calls from official offices, kept a fake email account on a government server with a fake government employee name to have conversations with these business partners. Joe Biden said he'd never met a business partner. And yet all this is known. So there's lying in politics, and President Trump has said things that aren't true. That's a fact. But so far, it's at best a tie. And I would regard Joe Biden as far more dishonest. Stay home, stay safe. Taking the injections will stop the transmission of COVID. They're countless. Not a smidgen of corruption, as Barack Obama had said. Joe Biden, the series of lies, he's brought back jobs. It's a roaring economy. We've got the strongest economy on earth. It's countless. So at best, it's a tie. And Adam Kinzinger is getting to the point of why he's joined Evangelicals for Harris. Because you would think it would have something to do with the gospel. He just said, lying goes against the gospel. Well, wait. You know, one other thing that President Trump doesn't do is Joe Biden's policies are designed to force you to lie. The easiest one to point to is pretending a man is a woman or pretending the elections are safe and secure. So far, it's a tie. Back to Adam Kinzinger making his pitch for Evangelicals for Harris.
That screams, in fact, the exact opposite of everything we want to be and everything the Bible warns us against. So for me, it's not a hard decision. I will eagerly support Vice President Harris and Tim Walz.
Okay, so Harris. She said that she wasn't border czar, but she was. She says that they've tried to secure the border, but they haven't. For decades, she merchandised her Indian American background, accepting the title as the first Indian American senator. She then started to emphasize her black background, African American. She's not African, of course, but nonetheless. She pretends to be a fan of rap music, which is, you could say, an incidental lie, not an important lie, but it is a lie, and it is important. Because it's racism. It's a soft bigotry of low expectations. Oh, well, all black people like rap. How do we know she's lying? Because in an interview with Angela Reese, who is a friend of hers and a huge supporter, when Kamala Harris is asked, who's the greatest living rapper? She said Tupac Shakur, who's been dead for 25 years. And then she cackled and laughed. I keep doing that. You do not forget who your favorite artist is. And you do not forget when your favorite artist dies. Tupac Shakur. The lies are enormous with her. Joe Biden's the man who can rescue our so-called democracy, which is a representative republic. Joe Biden's not senile. What are you talking about? He's crisp of mind. All of a sudden, they're using the 25th Amendment to jettison him. So again, with Adam Kinzinger, it's a tie between Harris and Trump. And I, again, think President Trump is far more genuine than Kamala Harris. And Kinzinger continues to try to make the point that Christians have to support Kamala Harris.
Because I believe that even where we disagree, they respect. There's respect. And I know that they don't fill their words with lies.
Day two.
Congressman Kinzinger, we spoke to, last week about the criticism that Governor Waltz, who served in the Army National Guard for 24 years, has been getting, saying in 2018 that he carried weapons, quote, in war, which certainly gave the impression that he was in combat, which he was not. The Harris-Waltz campaign said he misspoke. He's also been criticized for retiring from the Guard to run for Congress several months before the unit was deployed to Iraq, and for referencing a rank he attained but did not retire with. Congressman Taylor has been very critical of Governor Waltz online. I want to talk to him about that in a moment, using the hashtag Stolen Valor. Has anything changed in your view, Congressman Kinzinger, about Waltz since last we spoke?
No, and you know, I love you, Scott, but you know, when somebody's been in the military after 20 years, they can retire whenever they want.
Did any time CNN's host say he shouldn't be allowed to retire? See, that's Kinzinger lying, saying that he joined Evangelicals for Harris because Trump's a liar.
And if the military can't have you retire, then they can stop loss you. And by the way, he was replaced with somebody that went and did his job seemingly just fine.
It doesn't even bother to answer the question. Let's obscure it. Adam Kinzinger did not join Evangelicals for Harris because of a deep love for the Lord Jesus. If he did, he could make the case. He hasn't done that. The Democrat Party has tied itself to the lie. There is not a position they hold or policy they push that does not stand adverse to the word of the Lord. In this case, this is a man, and you know this man's going to vote Democrat and vote for Harris, etc. Let me just describe him. I promise you I'm not body shaming. I don't do that. At one point in my life, I weighed nearly 400 pounds. My dad spent his life obese, and I loved him dearly, so I do not body shame. This is a very heavy man who looks very masculine. He's got one side of his head shaved. The other side has hair extensions. A man this age does not have hair like that. If he does, then God bless him. It's long, long purple hair. And he's talking here about the nature of truth. And he's trying to make an argument in favor of other people being forced to pretend along with him that he's a man. And this is something that the party of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Adam Kinzinger, he's not a Republican. I mean, he calls himself that, but he's not. This is something they support. They support this man's position. As he is saying, he will not accept. He says, at one point, he says, he will not accept any other pronoun but she, her.
Why is this such a roadblock? Why is it? Why have we spent an hour discussing this? Especially, you say you care about the students, but half of you are not sure what gender is. Especially transgender. I know the lawyer said transsexual earlier. That's not the correct term. It's transgender. I'm a transgender woman. My pronouns are she, her. and I will only accept those pronouns. I will not be addressed any other way. And in the workspace, I'm protected by that. Our students should be too, especially when they're not over 18, don't have a voice. So I'm just imploring you to go beyond what is this fight really about? Why is it such entrenched? I know we hear a lot about religious liberty, and quite honestly, I grew up in Christian education all through college. I don't remember any of my doctrinal classes mentioning only male and female, and that's the way it should be.
But then you didn't have a religious education because it's in Genesis. It's right there in Genesis. It's not, quote, just religious liberty. It's also the ability to speak truth. You are a man. Your chromosomes are XY. You are evidently a man. And I will do my very best around you to not use pronouns, but I will not pretend you're a woman. That's why it's an argument. Because it's not just about being forced to pretend you're a woman. It's about, can we speak truth at all? That's what this is about. Can we speak truth at all? Neil deGrasse Tyson, remember him? He's an astrophysicist turned political commentator. And listen to him attempt to explain away gender theory and gender politics, scientifically, mind you.
The XXXY chromosomes are insufficient. Because when we wake up in the morning, we exaggerate whatever feature we want to portray the gender of our choice. Suppose no matter my chromosomes, today I feel 80% female, 20% male. I'm gonna put on makeup. I'm going to do that. Tomorrow I might feel 80% male. I'll remove the makeup and I'll wear a muscle shirt.
So what if I wake up today and I feel 80% Neil deGrasse Tyson? Do I get 80% of your bank account? 80% of your publishing rights? Well, but no, everybody knows you're not Neil deGrasse Tyson. Well, how dare you? Well, wait. My identity is based upon how I feel. So how dare you limit me? How dare you dead name me? Today I'm 80% you. Or what if I wake up and I'm 80% different species? The same amount of evidence exists for me waking up and saying, you know what, I'm 80% hound dog. Because, oh, well, DNA, right. Well, we share a lot of DNA in common with dogs. But chromosomes. See, when this infects science, can I offer an idea? This is something I heard at church, and I want to give credit where credit's due. This goes to one of my pastors named Sam, and he, in fact, was quoting someone else. So it's almost third-hand stealing at this point, or borrowing. Sam was having a conversation with a young woman. He said she was in early high school, and she was a determined atheist. She'd read The New Atheist, so she kind of had it down. She'd done a lot of historical study, and Sam said she was really gifted intellectually. And she had determined that God was not real. And she was arguing with him around history and DNA. And Sam's a smart guy. And he wasn't able to convince her. So he had the things like, hey, you know what? You're saying that everything in the world came from nothing. And that's kind of a hard one to overcome. And she was pushing back on that. And he exited and, you know, hey, gosh, I like talking with you. I'm so glad you're here and that you're open to this. It's a fun conversation. He's doing a great job of building relationship, letting her know, hey, I'm not going to run away from you. He overheard a conversation with this young girl and a grown woman. And this grown woman asked this girl, hey, how's your walk with Jesus? And the girl said, I don't believe Jesus is real. I don't believe God is real. You know what this lady said? This lady in her 60s. She said, oh, I don't believe you. And the young girl said, what? She goes, oh, no, I mean, I respect you, but I don't believe you. Because the Bible tells us everybody knows God is real. Everybody. They'll make up arguments so that they don't have to confess it. But everybody knows. God has implanted in us the fact that we all know God is real. So I don't believe you. But I wish you well. She walked away. Sam overheard this young girl say to her friends, "Oh my gosh, that's the most honest thing I've ever heard in church." She was at youth group. "That's the most honest thing anyone's ever said to me at church." That lady's a genius. I'm more open to believing based upon what she just said. So that girl went about trying to find the parts of the Bible that say that. And the Apostle Paul tells us, even if we've not encountered the law, even if we've not heard of the Lord Jesus, we have in us what's right. C.S. Lewis said the same thing, that natural rights, which preceded our Constitution, that natural rights and rights come from the observable things that God has shown us as to what's right and wrong. And C.S. Lewis, I think it was Mere Christianity, that he made the case that from an evolutionary perspective, if you walk past a building and it's on fire and there's a baby screaming, from an evolutionary Darwinian perspective, you shouldn't stop. I mean, the baby can't hunt, can't fish, can't defend the tribe. They're easy to make. But you stop. Why? Because it's a baby. It's the least of these. It's morality. It's God encoded in us. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling plus a statement. And I tried to find a version of this without the annoying music behind it. I want to give credit to the people on Twitter who found it, but I guess I'd like one without the music. I thought an incredible statement that President Trump made about his brother and alcohol. And either someone has gotten to President Trump and said, "Hey, you need to sound more humble." Or in fact, the Lord has humbled President Trump. Praise God. To me, that's been the missing thing in observing in him the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of things missing in me that way. This is a pretty fascinating note came in. It's from Thomas. Thomas writes to the ToddHermanShow.com. He says, "Hi, Todd. Have you ever gone to the Lord himself and asked whether you should vote and for whom or what? I stumbled upon your radio program and heard just a quick soundbite about how you thought Jesus would have voted if he lived under a democratic Israeli regime. I can tell you definitely no, because I went to Jesus with this very question, with fasting and prayer and supplication, telling him, not as I will or believe, but tell your truth, your truth. But tell your truth." Okay, so I'm going to pause. I remember, Thomas, this segment, and I'd mentioned that I had opined, it was my opinion that Jesus, had there been the possibility of voting under the Roman rule, and yes, the corrupt Jewish leaders and corrupt Romans, I believe Jesus would have voted, because his apostles tell us to be excellent citizens. And an excellent citizen base votes in elections when it's possible. It's part of being a good citizen, to steward well. Okay, so back to his note here from Thomas. "You probably haven't heard of me, but years ago I wrote a world-famous book called Joel the Plumber, Fighting for the American Dream with Joel Walzenbacher. I was with Joe the Plumber as he went stumping for John McCain that election year. I was on John McCain's Straight Talk Express with Joe, John, Lindsey Graham, among others, just taking notes for that book. I was very much a patriotic Christian. But I wholeheartedly gave my life over to Jesus. He called me to leave my job and my belongings, go to serve him throughout the United States with my wife and four children, with no financial means except faith in the Holy Spirit. Only stipulation to the Lord that he lead me in all truth. Consequently, the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, and Jesus Christ systematically stripped me of my patriotism by telling me the truth about the country and the whole world for that matter. In a nutshell, it's all Babylon. And we're truly called and chosen of Jesus Christ, are called by the Lord to come out of her. You can't really serve Jesus when your focus is on worldly matters and otherworldly institutions. A good soldier of Christ has the mind of Christ and is solely focused on God, the Father's directive. So I went out and started with a very patriotic Christian message that everyone must vote. This is right after Obama got elected to his first term, but almost immediately the Lord reformed my message and told me plainly to tell Christian Americans to vote Christ the Lord on every ballot where a true Christ follower wasn't present, even to write it in on the ballot. Would you say that Donald Trump is Christ-like? Trump can't even bring himself to plainly state that abortion of all types is evil. Neither would you hear him say that homosexuality is evil. Neither would you hear him say that faith in Jesus Christ alone ought to be the national religion. Not merely one nation under some unnamed God, but under the name of Jesus Christ. Invariably, people like me will say to themselves, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. Yet the Lord told me as plainly as can be, his people who are called by his name should never be voting for anything remotely evil. Happy to share more with you if I have a heart's desire to hear the whole truth. I appreciate the note, Thomas, and your conviction that it's a whole truth. I have no doubt that the Lord spoke to you this way. He hasn't spoken to me this way. In regard to the nation being under Jesus Christ as the national faith, oh, pray no. Don't do that. No, it'll be corrupted. One thing the Lord Jesus never did was use force, ever. He never sought to force people. He didn't want laws to force people to follow him, because if God had wanted that, he would have just created robots. Now, the rest of what you said is fascinating, and I'll get in touch with you. Because I'd love to have this conversation. Absolutely fascinating. And your journey, wow. Lord's called you in some very unique ways. I have no doubt that that's what he told you. It's not what he's told me. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Kamala Harris on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Unless it's an abnormal day, it's almost always three bites. So there was this amazing scene, a series of amazing scenes outside of the DNC. There was the breaking down of the fences from groups that look like Antifa, definitely Hamas supporters. There was, of course, Joe Biden speaking in the first night, a man cast aside from his party and irrelevancy. They're saying it. They showed he's irrelevant to them. There's the specter of a woman who hasn't received a single vote from anyone in the grassroots, seizing the nomination through a power move. I mean, why go to the bother of voting to protect a democracy, right? But then there was this. Outside the venue, there was a group of people playing banjos, singing about fascism. They're opposed to fascism. Meanwhile, they're at an event where a woman seized power illegally using blackmail. And by the way, they're wearing woke masks. Yeah. Fascists are bound to lose. You fascists are bound to lose. They're singing, wearing woke masks, the tool of fascism, outside an event where the... president who was probably installed illegitimately, probably. We know they rigged the election. At least I know they rigged it. I believe it was stolen. I know it was rigged. A woman who seized power using the 25th Amendment as a tool of blackmail. But yes. The fascists are going to lose. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Tim Walz implies that he was the head football coach of a state championship team.
You were coaching a high school football team that was winless.
Yes.
And you came in, and so they were clearly the underdogs. And what happened?
Yeah, it's a team, and I had great coaches with me, and we were friends, and we buckled down. And look, I was a fairly big school, but nobody wanted to play because they hadn't won. And this group of coaches said, first and foremost, we gotta build the team. We got to go out and find people. So we invited them in, and I'll be honest, the first year, we did not score a touchdown.
Now, in all likelihood, Tim Walz was a volunteer. But he was not coaching. That's not how you address an assistant coach. You say you were an assistant coach. The reason Walz was probably volunteering is because Walz was not allowed to hold positions like that because of his DUI conviction. Everything about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is a lie. Everything they want you to see is a lie. This is a woman pretending to be a man, or pardon me, a woman. Ha! This is a woman pretending to shop for Doritos. This is Kamala Harris, and they do this in three takes. First one is, it's a wash, they're not going to use it. The second one, she is shopping with her beloved husband, Doug, and then that one wasn't to their liking, or maybe they wanted a third try at this. And they did at least two. I should say they did at least two. One is with her beloved husband, Doug, because they're shopping for Doritos, and then cut. Hey, let's try this with Tim Walz. They're pretending. They're acting. This should be breathtaking.
Ah, Dougie, there they are. Thank you.
I know you want those.
Oh, wait, please. You see corn nuts over there, Tim?
Isn't this it?
Now it's with Tim.
Yeah, that's, oh, that's the best. Yeah,
there you go.
You see corn nuts over there?
Yeah, because, you know, they're out just shopping in a little deli. Incidentally, apparently they kicked out the actual shoppers so they could have the paid actors come in. Everything about these people is fake. So let's treat it that way. Let's give them the respect they deserve as fake people. How much respect do you give a store mannequin? Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. And they're created by God. He created them in his image. He loves them. So no, let's do this. It's not respect. We'll respect them because they're created by God in his image. So we must respect them. And we must respect the position even if we believe it was stolen. So let's do this. Let's treat them with the seriousness that they deserve as paid actors pretending to talk for or shop for tasty snacks. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I really believe that when President Trump escaped the assassination attempt that I believe was allowed to happen, I really believe that President Trump was humbled by the Lord. And I haven't heard this before. I'm not responsible for the music that's running under it. In fact, let me give credit to the Twitter account where I found this. But I thought it's an extraordinary statement. It comes from a Twitter account called Tara Bull and Truth Slayer. Subscribe, I'll follow you. So a conservative poster with a fair bit of followers on Twitter. And she posted this of President Trump speaking about alcohol and why he doesn't use it. I thought this was extraordinary.
I learned myself. I had a brother, Fred. Great guy. Best looking guy. Best personality. Much better than mine. But he had a problem. He had a problem with alcohol. And he would tell me, don't drink. Don't drink. He was substantially older, and I listened to him, and I respected. But he would constantly tell me, don't drink. He'd also add, don't smoke. But he would say it over and over and over again. And to this day, I've never had a drink. And I have no longing for it. I have no interest in it. To this day, I've never had a cigarette. Don't worry. Those are only two of my good things. I don't want to tell you about the bad thing. There's plenty of bad things, too.
It's a great statement. And it speaks well of President Trump that he can speak in a humble sense and sound comfortable in it. Look, when you're a stage performer, and President Trump is a stage performer, there are rooms and you play them differently. But it doesn't change who President Trump is. Kamala Harris and these skits, these are written for them. They're no doubt Saturday Night Live type writers, and they know that these guys can't pull off real comedy, so they don't try to have time jokes, etc. This is to humanize them. Because Kamala Harris stops into convenience stores all the time and shops for Doritos and corn nuts. And Kamala Harris stops at record stores all the time, and particularly black-owned record stores, and buys LPs all the time. She thinks of rap music all the time because she knows her favorite living rapper is Tupac Shakur, though he's been dead for 25 years. President Trump changes tone because he plays to rooms. when I speak in a church and I'm asked to give testimony or to address issues in churches, I speak with a tone of reverence because it's a church. It is to be, it's a place in which we should be reverent. Sure, I make jokes, try to connect with the people in the audience. Now, if I'm speaking at a political rally, I take on a little bit different tone, but I always now try to honor God because God's at the center of everything I do. I try to honor him. But President Trump, by virtue of not being malleable, and people can sense that, this is why, in my judgment, the Democrats are so tightly scripting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Yeah, people can sense the genuineness. They don't want the genuine Kamala Harris to be seen in public. They don't want the genuine Tim Walz to be seen in public. The genuine Tim Walz allowed his mom to die alone because of the COVID flu, untouched by human hands. The genuine Tim Walz, out of political calculation or corruption, decided to allow parts of Minnesota to burn rather than to confront the people burning parts of Minnesota. He decided to do that out of political expediency. Kamala Harris famously or infamously forced people to stand up when she was attorney general and say, "Good morning, General." She, according to one source whose son worked for her for a year, not a year, for a while as an intern, wouldn't allow any junior staffer to make eye contact with the great lady, Kamala Harris, because that was reserved for senior staff. She's lost countless people from her office, young African-American women, because of a hostile work environment. So they can't possibly allow the real Kamala Harris to be seen, the real Tim Walz to be seen. We can see the real President Trump, and sometimes he's his own worst enemy. Got to be able to admit that, because sometimes he is his own worst enemy. And he's being genuine. He's using words, sure, differently, but he's being genuine. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again together. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples View.